Already got him nicknamed on Hot Rod. Gonna be driving that Hot Rod Lincoln. Hallelujah, that's a good name. Praise the Lord. We're thankful for Stormy and all the girls that Jesus saved. Hallelujah. Give an abundant life now. Gonna bless them and prosper them and give them a good family. Everything the devil took away from us, Jesus gives back to us. Devil's a thief and a robber and a stealer, and Jesus is a giver. Hallelujah. What a good Lord he is. Amen. Satan's a hard taskmaster. He's hard to serve. I'll tell you, he's rough on you. Somebody told me one time, said they'd kind of stand out of church, backslide and all that. They said, well, it's hard to be a Christian nowadays. I said, hard to be a Christian? I said, it's hard to be a sinner. It's hard to serve the devil. He dang near killed me. Jesus done you good, you know. It's not hard to serve Jesus. It's hard to do anything if you don't want to. That's the key, isn't it? But you want to. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 1 again. Remember, we was over there last Friday and Sunday. And some people said they enjoyed that Sunday. They got it was very good and plain how the Lord has redeemed us. I like that song we're singing, trading my sorrows, trading my pains. That's what happened on the cross, was a great exchange. We traded. We gave him what we had, and he gave us what he had. We gave him our brokenness and our debts and our sorrow and our sickness and our sin and our free trip to hell. We gave him all that, and he gave us life. Gave it to us more abundantly and gave us health and prosperity and gave us a free ticket to heaven. Amen? So you can't beat that deal. Hallelujah. And we see in Hebrews chapter 1 here that, let's see, we saw in verse 4, having become so much better than the angels, he was by inheritance, or has by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. Than who? The angels. Having become. Now we showed you that. He was, you start up here on top, there's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And in the beginning I showed you was Lucifer with the angels. And so Lucifer, he was on the earth. He had a third of the angels. He was praise and worship leader. And so he got lifted up. He was second only to Jesus. He was the most magnificent angel of all. He was the greatest angel of all of them. He exceeded all of them in beauty and power and majesty and everything Satan did. He wasn't Satan any, Lucifer. He was so magnificent that the other angels began to admire him and began to tell him how great he was and tell him how beautiful. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 declares that. And said he was lifted up in his pride, and he said, I will. So we saw in the very beginning he had a will. Angels have a will today in heaven now. If the angels decided to now to revolt against God and try to overthrow God, they could do the same thing now. But I don't think they want to when they saw what happened to the first guy that tried that. So, but they have a will. Nobody serves God because they have to. God made everything with a will. Free will. We have a free will to serve God if we want to. You don't have to serve God. That's plain to see by Christians. You don't have to go to church. Like I heard a preacher say one time, would you make the devil leave me alone and pray that Satan would quit bothering me or whatever it was? And he said, well, I'd have to pray that you die, because as long as you're in this earth, you're going to have a battle with the devil. And God doesn't make you do anything. If God made people do anything, he would make all of his people go to church. He'd make all of them pay tithes. He'd make all of them pray. He'd make all of them worship. I mean, when he said it's time to worship, he rang the bell. Your hands would go up whether you want it to or not, because you were afraid. God said, if you don't do it, I'm going to hit you in the head. Bang. But God doesn't do that. God wants a family or people who serve him out of a free will. That's only people who will be in heaven. The only people who will be in heaven is the people who want to be there. And they have proven they want to be there. Have they proven that? Through the tests, trials, situations, and things they went through. Because he said this belongs to the overcomers. People who have pressed through. And then if you don't want to serve the Lord, you don't have to serve God. Heaven will be populated by people who are sold out, who absolutely want to be there, want to serve him, want to praise him. They chose it. Above everything else, they chose it. Every day they chose it. And he says, and now if you'll choose me, if you'll choose my way, and you'll do it with a good heart, and you really do everything I say, he said, now there'll be levels of rewards. He said, God says, I pay good. But he don't pay if you don't work, if you don't do things. So in judgment day, he's going to pay us based on our diligence and our heart after him. The price you paid. You may think sometimes it gets a little rough down here, but I'll tell you, he watches everything we do, and he keeps good records. He keeps good records. And one day it'll be worth it all, my brother and sister. It'll be worth it all. Everything you did for him, he said you can't give a drink of cold water to anybody without getting a reward for it. Wow. Praise the Lord. By you, I'd be carrying a pitcher of cold water around. Having become so much better, for to which of the angels did he say at any time, today I have begotten you, and I'll be to him a father, and he'll be to me a son. Amen? And so we saw through these scriptures the redemption that he did for us. Now look in the second chapter. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we let them drift away from us. We must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip away from us. And we need to rehearse these things and go over them. That's why you go to church. Like we do. That's why we read the Bible, and that's why we keep saying to you and talking to you about the goodness of God and the things that God's given us and the things you have to give him. Amen? So we have to rehearse these things, go over them over and over and over, because if we don't, they'll slip away from us. You understand that Lucifer was up here, and he tried to exalt himself up to God's throne, and Jesus kicked him out, throwed him all the way to the earth. And when he hit the earth, no telling how old the earth is. Scientists tell us, and they've proven the earth is thousands of years old. The earth is. Now, creation and man is not that old. It's 6,000 years old is all it is. It started in the Garden of Eden with Adam, and it was 6,000 years. Because he said in verse 1 that he spoke in times past, and through the dispensations he's spoken to through prophets and different ways, but has in these last days spoken through only Jesus. And the dispensation you and I living in is the church age. And there'll be great benefits throughout eternity for being in the church, more so than any other time. Nobody knew anything about the church in the Old Testament. It was hid. It was hid even from angels. Angels knew nothing about the church. The Bible says that the angels look in on us and watch what we do, and they're amazed at it, and they wonder at it. And even the Old Testament saints, if they had their choice at any other time to live, they would rather live where you're at, in the church. Because we can sing a song that nobody else can sing. We can sing a song that the Old Testament saints can't sing. We sing a song the angels can't sing. It's a song of redemption. For we have been redeemed by His blood. We are born again. They wasn't born again in the Old Testament. They was justified by faith. They were saved on a credit. When Jesus died, He went to the center of the earth, the Bible says. He went to the lower parts of the earth, the center of the earth, and said He preached to captivity. He preached to prisoners, the Bible says. He preached to those the redemptive story and how He came to redeem man, and He said, I am what you were looking for in the Old Testament. I am that shadow. I'm the shadow that you walked in. I'm Him. I'm Him, the Redeemer, your Savior, Lord. And they accepted Him, and He led captivity captive. He opened up the doors of paradise and let them out, and they walked into heaven. Amen. And you die now, you go straight to heaven. Praise God. I'm ready to go, aren't you? But Satan thought he was going to overthrow God. God threw him down to the earth. And the earth, the Bible says, became without form and void. And great chaos covered the whole earth, and it was froze into just a ball of ice. And God looked at it. No telling how long it was like that. We don't know. But Satan and his army was here, his angels, fallen angels. And evidently they then were in the second heaven. A lot of things we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. And we just have to speculate on things. But God looked and said, I will create a new race. I'll create some. I don't know if Satan and God, we don't know. We know how Satan came to God, you know, with Job, and they began to discuss and his creation, and they began to have a pond there, and Satan said he won't serve you, and God said he will serve you, and man was here, and he's choosing who would get the glory out of his life, Satan or God. I don't know the story that went on in the beginning with Satan. I don't know. There's a lot of things that we don't understand about creation. Why when Adam fell, see, God made man, made Adam, and He gave him charge over the whole earth, over everything. And he fell. And when he fell, Satan got the authority back. Well, why didn't God, He could have then, He just said, He could have said, that's enough. I'm fed up of you. Tired of you messing around here, Lucifer. And just throwed him on into hell. He could have done that. Why didn't he do that when he first fell? But he made man and left man here and left Satan here and left this game, if you want to call it, going on between man, God, and the devil. And he told the devil then, he said, he'll rule over you. I'll make a creation so inferior to you, but he'll rule you. And he made him out of dirt. And Satan said, that thing, that's nothing. And Satan got him. And all the ages to come, man lived under a curse. It's not fair. you know. But what's not? Let's look. I want to start here in verse 6 of this. It says, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Now that's talking about the man Jesus. But what is man even from the beginning? Now that's quoting Psalms chapter 8, where David pretty much said the same thing. If you'll look over there, it says in verse 3, Psalms 8, verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers. Now, notice he says here that he used the finger to create the heavens. If you study the Bible, when it talks about his hand, or the right hand especially, it's power. But God just used the fingers to create the universe. In other words, saying, it didn't take much power. I got a lot left. Just used his fingers to create everything. The moon and the stars which you have ordained. How'd he ordain them? One to give the light. And what is man? What is man? That you're mindful, or you think about him, or in the very creation all the way back, what is this man? What's the whole plan here with man? David's wondering, I don't understand it. And if you start meditating on it and think about it, you won't either. That you're mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that you visited him. The Son of Man here, means the offspring of man. What is man and the offspring of man? Jesus was the offspring of man. Jesus was. Satan couldn't understand how this Redeemer would come, because the curse was on man, but it come through the man, not through the woman's blood. And so the Father God impregnated Mary, the virgin birth, and all of creation is hinged around the virgin. I mean, the redemption is hinged around the virgin birth. The church, you take the virgin birth away and there is no church. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord our God, how excellent is that name in all the earth. Absolutely. More excellent than any other name. Amen. Now look with me over in Genesis chapter 1, and we look at chapter 3 here. Huh? Yeah, just go to chapter 1, then we'll look at chapter 3. We'll see here in creation. After Lucifer fell and he became Satan, then God said, I'll make man. And I don't know, God had the redemption plan. He had the whole plan the whole time. It wasn't, he got it after Lucifer fell, or he didn't get it after he just washed the earth and void for a while, and he didn't get it after Adam fell. Jesus and the plan of redemption wasn't plan B. It was plan A. Before anything, he already had this plan. And so when Satan fell, or Lucifer fell, became Satan, you know, we don't know how long God waited. He said, I'm going to now work my plan. Nobody knew it but him. So he created man here out of the dust of the earth. In the beginning, see, it says, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but, in the original Hebrews, it says, but the earth was without form and void. And that word, first it says, having become without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord, which is the Holy Spirit, capital S, was hovering over the face of the water, or brooded over, what it says, like a chicken broods over her nest or over eggs. He hovered over it, brooded over it. That's the same word that is used when the Holy Spirit came from heaven and he brooded over Jesus. He hovered over him and anointed him. That's the same word. The Spirit of God hovered over the face over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and he said, and he kept on saying, and when he created something, it was good. Then we go over in verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them, plural, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. That's when he created man, Adam, male and female. Then God blessed them. Now notice he keeps saying them. Well, he hadn't created the woman yet, but he kept saying them, kept saying male and female. Then God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the air, birds, or the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and everything living that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you herb and that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Now notice he said, I have given you herbs to eat, seed for plants that you can plant on the face of the earth, and trees whose fruit yield seed, and you'll eat that. He's vegetarian in the beginning. I mean, don't be going around killing deer then with no rednecks. Hadn't created rednecks yet, so they didn't shoot deer and hogs and things. That didn't start till Noah came on the scene. Then God told Noah, you can eat anything. You can kill anything and eat that. But in the beginning, it wasn't so. You just ate of the fruit of the ground. Amen? So to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything creeps on the face, there is life. I have given green herb for food, and it was so. Even the lions and tigers and all that pick grass and eat things just exactly the way it'll be in the millennial reign. It'll go back to the original plan in the millennial. And lions and bears, and they'll pick grass, eat fruit, things just like it started in the beginning. Amen? And so God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning was the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Now, he didn't cease and sit down because he is tired. He quit because he is finished. He rested because he is finished. Then God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his works, and God created and made that he had made. Now, if you notice in reading, every day it said morning and evening were the fifth day, sixth day, but on the seventh day, there's not an evening. If you read Hebrews 3 and 4, where he's talking about the rest of God, he said there is a rest that you can enter into. Talking about my rest. God's talking about his rest. And there wasn't an evening for the seventh day. In other words, God didn't stop the seventh day rest. Which he was telling us, cease from laboring like you are and being frustrated and rest in me. He said, there remaineth the rest whereby the children of Israel could rest, but they didn't because of unbelief. And he said, it's still there for anybody that'll enter into it. Well, what is that rest? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the rest. Amen. And it's never ended. It'll always be there. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel could have entered in through faith in what is to come. But they didn't believe God, and they didn't enter into his rest. So he said, therefore, there remaineth a rest, labor, that you enter in that rest. Wow, that's kind of mixed. Labor that you rest. Labor that you rest. How do we labor? Fine. We labor against our flesh and all the doubt and unbelief, but there's a rest we can enter into. Amen. And this is the history of the heaven and earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens, before any plant or field was in the earth, and before any herb was in the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, for there was no rain to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a spirit. He became a spirit. The Lord God planted a garden east of Eden and put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant. Now notice, out of the ground the Lord made every tree. When the Lord made the earth, out of that he made everything else. Out of the ground. It was pleasant for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now there was some rivers that ran through it. We won't read that. And verse 16 or 15, the Lord took man and put him in the garden of Eden and to tend and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Now we know, if you've studied any faith by any of them, that word die means in dying you shall die. They say the interpreters didn't know how to interpret that, so they just put the word surely there. But in the original, it means in dying you will die. Meant that if you eat of the tree of the knowledge and you sin, you will die twice. You will bring death into your life. And you will die twice. In dying, you will die. In other words, when you disobey me and you eat that tree, you will die spiritually. And that spiritual death will cause you to die. So in dying spiritually, you will die physically. There was no death on earth until then. No death. There's no sickness, no disease, no poverty, no anything. It was a master plan of Almighty God. He said, I give you this earth that Satan had. And I want you to replenish it and create me a magnificent place just like heaven. I am patterning this earth after heaven. And I'm putting man in charge of it. And Lucifer or Satan was over here watching that, mad. I'm telling you, he is mad. How dare you give my planet to this feeble creature you've made out of dirt? And God said, I'll make him to rule over you. And I put him in charge of you. He's in charge of everything on this earth, including you, Satan. He's in charge of you. And so, Satan, he mad. He didn't like that. And God told Adam, you take this, start here in this garden, you take care of it, and you spread it out all over the earth in the face of Satan. And you'll rule this. He once walked on this earth. He once was here, but now you're here ruling it. And you'll rule under me. And it'll be your earth. I'll be in heaven, and we'll be on earth, and we'll communicate, walk, and it'll be really good. But Satan, he was here on earth. He was here because he was cast down. We saw in Isaiah 14, and Ezekiel 38, that he was thrown down to the earth, and to the earth he would remain until he's taken from the earth and cast into hell. But that's not come yet. That's not time yet. You shall surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper that's comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air that brought them to Adam to see what he would name them. Now notice, God made all the animals, everything that was made, everything you see today, everything was made out of the same dirt Adam was formed out of. Your dog came out of the same ground you were made from. Horse, mule, pig, everything God made from the dirt. We all come from the same dirt. The only difference between you and I and the animal, God didn't breathe into their nostrils. They don't have a spirit. You and I have a spirit. Animals don't have a spirit. They have a soul. They have a body, but they don't have a spirit. They have a soul, which intellect, they can think, they can reason somewhat. They can make decisions somewhat. They can communicate with each other somewhat. But they don't have a spirit. And when they die, they go back to the dirt. They don't have a spirit to go anywhere. You and I have a spirit. When we die, our body goes back to this dirt just like a dog does. But what about our spirit? Our spirit has to go somewhere. It was created in the image of God. The only difference between that animal that God made that day and man that he made that day was God breathed into man and made him a living being, living spirit. And we are in charge of the animals and we can control them. Even animals have personalities. Your dog or your animal, horse, whatever it is, has a personality. You can, if you had them for a while, any kind of animal, you can tell. You can have a horse, different horses, they'll have different personalities. Same with dogs and things. But they don't have a spirit. And that way people say, well, my dog's going to heaven. Well, if that means a whole lot to you, and that people ask me, you think my dog went to heaven? Well, if God decides to put it in heaven, he can. But when your dog died, it didn't go to heaven. It went back to the dirt. Now, if God decided that that dog means that much to you and you want it that bad in heaven, God can declare that dog, your dog, that one dog will be there in heaven. But I doubt very seriously when you get to heaven if you're going to be looking for some dog you had. There'll be dogs in heaven, no doubt about it. Everything you see on this earth is patterned after heaven. If there's dogs here, there's dogs there. The Bible declares that there's horses in heaven. So there'll be all kind of animals in heaven. So I doubt if that one dog that you had some period in your life, that's the first thing you'll be looking for is little Boopsy when you get to heaven. I want to see my little Boopsy. I've not seen it. I doubt that's what. But if that means that much to you, God can definitely do anything. He can put your little Boopsy in heaven if he wants to. But all dogs don't go to heaven. Sorry. Now, you can believe that all you want to in this life. I worked for Terry and I one time. Worked for this lady. Nice, really nice people. And her little dog had died, and she cried. She still talked to me about which she would fix us a sandwich or a cookie. She'd bake cake and give us a piece of cake and something to drink, and we'd sit on the porch. And I mean, nice people to work for. I enjoyed working for her. And she was sitting out there drinking tea and eating a piece of cake, and she was talking about her little dog. And she found out that I was a minister, and she started asking me about her little dog if it's in heaven. I said, if that means that much to you, I'm sure God will let your little dog be in heaven. And her face just lit up like, you think? I said, I think that. So when she gets there, she won't matter anyway. But if she wants to think that, I mean, God can do it. It meant that much to her. You know, God loves us. He'll make you happy. I guarantee you won't have any sad days in heaven. You'll be happy, whatever it takes you to be happy. Praise the Lord. And if you're a little dog, when you sit down on a nice little sofa in heaven and your little dog runs and jumps in your lap, you'll say, hallelujah. But until then, we'll just believe it's there. I make it and out of the ground, and he brought them to Adam to see what he'd called them. And whatever Adam named them, that's what they were. Wonder how long it took him to name all the animals and bugs and everything on the earth. Everything has a name. And why, you know? And it's been passed down evidently through the ages. We still call an elephant an elephant. You guess that's what Adam called it? I mean, who passed that down, all those names? Somebody did. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper comparable. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man he made, or built, that word made means built, into a woman. And she's really built. And he brought her to man. The woman is really built. Man was made. So that's Bible when you say that. Yeah? Just don't be around your wife when you start talking about how that woman's built. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she call, and she called, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Now, go all the way back to where it says, he gave, he in verse 27 of chapter 1, said they were male and female when he created them. So it's obvious that the spirit that was in Adam had two spirits in him, was the male and female. When he took the woman out of Adam, he took the womb out of Adam. And it's womb man, what it was. It's woe, they call it woe man or womb man. Because that was in Adam. Everything on this earth was made out of dirt except the woman. She's different than any creation that God created. She is specially or special made for man and took her out of man. No other creation was made like woman. Isn't that wild? So they're special. Different, I know that. And they're the only time they come back together to be complete like the original creation was is in marriage. And when they, on their honeymoon, or what, when they come face to face, that is a holy, supernatural thing God created where they come back to the original intent of God to be one. Animals are not like that. They're not just given one mate. Doesn't matter about animals. All their purpose is in having more animals. Not with a man. It's special with man. He created it different. That's why when adultery or fornication or whatever, it's such a sin against God. Because it's a holy thing before God. Why do you think Satan perverts that so much? Why do you think he's constantly trying to, with males in homosexual union now and get men and women to marry each other? That's a mockery to God's original intent. That's what it is. And so it's a holy thing. We're special in creation. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They were one flesh to begin with, and God separated them, and the only time they become one flesh again is in the union of marriage. Amen? Now, the serpent, here you go, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, not to Adam, to the woman, hath God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now notice something here, and I believe, of course, it doesn't make any difference. It's not a heaven or hell issue or a being born again issue or anything, just an opinion. I believe the serpent here that the Bible is talking about is not a snake. Nowhere does the Bible say it's a snake. The Bible does call Satan a serpent. The Bible also calls him a dragon. The Bible refers to him as a serpent. I don't believe the animals in the garden talked. I don't believe there was a snake talked to Eve. I believe this was. Now the serpent was more cunning. Tells you there who it was. He is more subtle, more cunning, more crafty more deceptive, more deceiving than any other thing on the earth. Than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. He's more cunning than anything, any beast, any animal, anything. Now, if you believe it was an animal or snake, that's perfectly all right. Jesus is one who saves us. Don't make any difference. And he said to the woman, "Hath God indeed said?" Now, he said to the woman. So this was Satan, we know. And if you believe he was talking to a snake, that's fine. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Now you see where she got it wrong here? See where she didn't have the whole truth of the matter? Why did she say that? Well, speculation. This was secondhand knowledge she had. God didn't tell her. See, God told Adam that before she was created. Remember where we read? God hadn't said that to her. This was secondhand knowledge to her. Adam told her that. And I believe, probably could have, that Adam was so afraid that she'd go near that tree and eat of that tree or around that tree, he probably added, "Don't you touch that tree." That's what secondhand knowledge of the word will get you. That's why if you try to stand on healing by somebody else's faith, you won't ever get it. If you try to go on secondhand word or secondhand faith or secondhand knowledge, you got to get it yourself. It has to be a revelation to you. I've heard people, I've seen people do this. Somebody give their car or something away and get a car, and somebody go out and do the very same thing, and they'd go home walking. Why? Because it's running on secondhand information. God didn't tell you to do that. I've done things, and I'll tell that as an example, but don't you do it because I said it about giving, and you do it because God tells you. Because you hear God. Because he told you to do it. He told you to give your car away. He told you to give all your money away. He told you. Don't do like Eve. But Adam had told her, "We can't eat of that tree, and don't you touch it, Eve. Don't you touch that tree." So that was big in her. So she told him, "We can't touch it." Oh, I don't hear. "You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said, "You shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Well, that's what man's still trying to do today, be like God. And knowing good and evil. Good and evil. Now, you've heard me preach on this. Knowing good and evil, they already knew good. They just didn't know evil. And what this is, when you know good and evil and all this, what Satan was saying, you don't need God to run your life. You're well able to make decisions on your own. That's what our government tells us now. That's what reason people get away from God. We don't want the Ten Commandments. We don't want God in our school. We can run our own life. Well, you can't. Now, let me say something else about here where Eve said you can't touch that tree. What that is that's a legalism. Where legalism. Now, God will say this, not to commit adultery or fornication. Well, man adds all kind of rules to that, and he'll tell women, then they'll start telling them what kind of clothes to wear. Don't you wear anything except it's 2 inches above the ankle, because what that'll do is cause men to sin, and commit fornication. But that's not what God said. God didn't say anything about wearing a dress like that. He didn't say anything about not wearing gold or not wearing makeup. Or they'll say, you can't go to movies. It'll cause you to commit fornication. Or you can't listen to certain music, cause you to commit fornication. See, that becomes legalism. You add to the word. That's not what God said. But, so enough said about that. So the woman saw that the tree was good. Notice she saw. That it was pleasant to the eye and this pleasure desirable to make one wise. So this is all the sins listed over in 1 John. She took of the fruit and ate it, and she also gave it to her husband who was with her. Now they had authority over everything on the earth. Adam could have told that serpent then, you shut your mouth and get out of here. That's what God intended for him to do. But he didn't do it. He put up with the devil in his house. He didn't do it. And so, when they did that, they failed. Then both their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make covering. Then the sound of the Lord was walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid herself from the presence of the Lord. Then the Lord called Adam and said, where are you? Or why are you there, Adam? Why are you where you're at? Why are you in that place? And he says, I heard your voice and I was afraid. And I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I put in the garden? Told you not to eat? Then the man said, well, Lord, is that woman you gave me? Now, notice he was blaming the woman, but he's also blaming God. He blamed God. It's your fault. You shouldn't ever gave her to me. People probably still blame God today for a lot of things, you know. And the Lord said to the woman, what is it you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. True. 1 Timothy 2:13. She was deceived. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust. Now, here's where we get that it was a snake. But snakes do crawl on their belly, but they don't eat dust. So this was telling him his position, what his position would be, and what God was prophesying to him. You're going to wind up on your belly, and you're going to be eating dust when they put their foot on your head. God was prophesying to him. And you shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put division between you and the woman. So he wasn't saying that to a snake. He didn't say, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, you rascal snake, you. So he's talking to the devil here. And between your seed and her seed, he will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now we know what that is. We're talking about the second Adam that would come, Jesus Christ. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be to your husband, or the control will be. But he shall rule over to you. Still true today, under the curse. That's under the curse. It's not like that when you get born again in the church. Man don't rule over woman. Are you out there? He said to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth, and you shall eat the herb of the field in the sweat of your brow. You shall eat your bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, from dust you are, and dust you will return. And Adam called his wife Eve. Now, we see the curse then came upon man. Adam made a choice. Adam was not deceived in any way. He made an absolute choice that day to stand there and let his wife, which was deceived, go in under the curse. And when God, you heard me say that, when God cast her out of the garden, he made a choice to go with her. Now the curse came on the earth. Satan began, he was after the authority the whole time. He was getting the authority from the man through the wife. He went through the wife because he found out she didn't know the truth. She hadn't heard the truth for herself, and so she was a weak link. And no telling how long he'd been studying all this. But he went through her and got the authority back from Adam. And so he became then the God of this world system. Man was under a curse. The ground is cursed. Everything's cursed. So God had to make a way to get back to man to where he could bless him or get him from out from under that. So he was like that through dispensations, and the law came, and he set up a law and through sacrifices and all that to cover sin, to try to bring man into a blessing. And he told them, children of Israel, if you'll keep my commandments and do what I tell you, I can protect you from him, and I can bless you in the midst of this Satan and his kingdom. But they kept following false gods. But then one day, the Bible says over in the book of Romans, this second Adam came. Through one man's sin, death reigned. Through another man's sacrifice, life came. Jesus bore the curse for us. He defeated Satan at his own game. He bore the curse for us. He took the authority back. And if you'll come into Jesus Christ and live for him, you have authority over the devil, and you can crush his head. And you can put your foot on his head and make him eat dust. Yeah. Under my foot, Satan. Yep. Amen? Amen? So, the plan of God in the very beginning was to have a church, have a family, have a people who would worship him. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, that we would make known to the devil the manifold wisdom of God. Every time that somebody gets born again, it's a slap in Satan's face. Every time you stand up in the name of Jesus in prayer and you take authority over him, it's one for God. Every time you demonstrate Satan's defeat, why don't God just take us out of here? Why does he leave us here? We're in this place where the Bible says this, pain and suffering and tears and sorrows and hurt and poverty and lack. And we see all this every day, and it's a struggle. Why don't God just take us out of it? Why did he leave us here? He left us here for one reason, to demonstrate to his foe, demonstrate to his enemy that he has a people that he made out of the dust of the earth that could defeat him. And so he gives us the privilege of demonstrating the defeat of Satan every time that we stand up and praise the Lord, that we honor God, that we give money, that we pray, that we stand in faith, and God prospers us, heals us, and blesses us. We are demonstrating the defeat of Satan. And God says, see, I told you, Satan. See, I told you. He said, all those people are nothing. God says, see, I told you. Amen. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand up with me. Thank you, Jesus. So he could have ended it all when Lucifer fell. He could have just thrown him into hell, throw the angels into hell, but he left them here. He left them on the earth for us to deal with. He could have, when Adam fell, he could have just wiped, he said, that's it, and just done away with it then, and let Adam go on with, and Eve go on with us, with Satan, and he could have started all over. He said, well, that was a mess. They sure messed that up. I'll just start all over. He could have started all over, but he didn't do that. God doesn't start over. He keeps with doing what he started. Amen? But he left it, and he left it here for us. And so we're in the midst of it, in Satan's kingdom, where he's the God of this world. He sets us down in the middle of it, and he brought us out of that darkness, out of Satan's kingdom. And he says, I've saved you, and I'm going to put you back in the middle of it to demonstrate to him every day that you're a winner. That you're a winner. See, there's a lot to it, whether you go on or fail. Don't you give in to the devil. Don't you give up. Well, every time I went to church, I knew that I was making a mockery out of the devil, because he tried his best to stop me. But I said, nope. There's more to this than whether I go to church, devil. You lost forever. Father, we thank you tonight for your plan, that you got a lot of confidence in us, Lord. You set us down here to demonstrate the defeat of Satan, to show the manifold wisdom of our God, to the demonstrate that to principalities and powers. You've given us victory, Lord, and you told us to rule and reign in life through one Christ Jesus. You told us to manifest the glory, to manifest the very power and the resources of heaven. Let the enemy see. Let all of his army see. Let all his cohorts see that God had a good plan when he planned for us to be in this kingdom at this time. He made a good choice. We're his servants. We walk in victory, and we prove every day that God was right. That God was right in choosing man. Thank you, Lord, for giving us strength, giving us victory, giving us power to overcome every day and every way. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed.